Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. Last month we featured one of Radio Man Dave Amaral's adaptations of the Dr. Sam Hawthorne stories of Mystery Writers of America Grandmaster Edward D. Hoke. Here's another of the radio plays from that series.
But he was alone in the booth, Doc. Nobody could have killed him in there.
I know. First, we have to find the knife. And I'd better do the looking. You'd better take the others to the front of the shop and stay there with them.
Hold on just a minute. I'm still the sheriff here.
Yes, but some folks might think you killed him.
Tonight, Sam Hawthorne, retired New England doctor, tells us the bizarre story of a man stabbed to death while alone in the voting booth, with a knife that vanished into thin air. It's another baffling miracle problem. Dr. Sam calls it the problem of the voting booth.
Well, hello again. It's always nice to have you back for another story. Yes, yes. Well, let's see now. I had finished the one about the country inn, hadn't I? Oh, yes. Well, it was just a few months later, November of 1926 it was, when we were faced with another mystery in Northmont. Sheriff Lenz was running for re-election that year and, a little libation before we start, eh? There we go. Now, I remember it rained on election day that year. Not a gentle spring-like rain, but the sort of driving New England rain that comes so often in the fall, bringing down what's left of the leaves and being generally unpleasant. Because of the rain, I'd driven to the polling place in the back of Will Whitney's barbershop.
You sure need an umbrella this morning, Doc.
Hello, Sheriff. What are you doing here? A little illegal last-minute electioneering?
No. Manny wants a picture of me and Otis shaking hands outside the voting booth for the newspaper. Silly idea, but I gotta go along with it. Doc, you know Manny Small, don't you?
Yes. Hello, Manny.
Good morning, Dr. Sam.
So, you've come to photograph the winner and loser shaking hands, eh?
That's right. Sort of friendly enemies, you might say.
You've certainly got around in the short time you've been here, Manny.
Yeah, Doc, I guess working for a newspaper is one sure way of getting to know your way around the new town.
Don't you ever get tired of snapping pictures, Manny?
Sure don't, Sheriff. Photographs and newspapers are the common thing.
Well, Doc, I'm glad you showed up to vote. I sure hope this rain don't keep too many folks away.
You might have another vote sitting over there in Will Whitney's chair.
No, Manny. He's a stranger in town.
Oh, and who are the two women at the desk handing out the ballots?
Well, the one with gray hair is Ida Fry from the dry goods store. And the other one's Elsie Morgano.
I see.
Won't be long. You'll be feeling like a native, Manny.
Just the natural curiosity of a newspaper man. Are you a native of Northmont, Doctor?
Well, I've only been here 5 years, but I feel like one.
How about you, Sheriff?
Been here all my life.
Well, then I'd say you're a sure bet for re-election. Otis is a southerner. I don't think the folks will think much about him coming in and taking over.
Well, I won't be doing any celebrating till the last vote's been counted.
Oh, I don't think you have anything to worry about, Sheriff.
About that time, I excused myself. I seem to be the only one there for the purpose of voting.
Well, hello, Dr. Sam. Not much turnout on such a rainy day.
Hello, Ida. It is a bit messy out.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Here's your ballot.
The long ballot was time-consuming, and I was in the booth a full 2 minutes before emerging to drop my folded paper into the slotted box on my left.
Well, Doc, I hope you voted the right way.
I voted against everyone who's in office now. Except for the sheriff, of course.
Thank you, Doc. I was beginning to think that... Oh, no. There's Otis.
Don't let that razor slip now, Will. I can't afford to lose a single vote today. Oh, you're not from Northmont.
Nope. Just passing through.
I'm here to take your picture, Mr. Otis. If I could just get you to stand
Henry
over here
Otis,
for a moment.
Henry Otis, you come over here right this instant and do your voting. There'll be plenty of time for picture taking afterwards.
All right, Ida. Always willing to bend the will of the party. It's time we all did some voting around here. Time we had a real law enforcement officer instead of this do-nothing country hick.
Henry, you stop that illegal campaigning and just get on over here and vote.
I'm coming, Ida. Oh, hello, Linz. Didn't see you standing there. Don't know how I could have missed you. Enjoying your last week in office?
Here's your ballot, Henry. Just sign the register.
The whole scene embarrassed me because I considered myself a good friend of the sheriff's, and I hated to see the degradation that the campaign had brought upon him. It had been a very bitter campaign.
I don't like it, Doc.
Don't let him get to you, Sheriff.
This big mouth don't worry me none. It's this darn rainstorm. A low turnout ain't helping my chances any.
Otis had slipped off his raincoat for the picture, but he still held the ballot that Ida Fry had handed him.
Mr. Otis, if you'll just hold it for a moment.
Like I said, boy, voting first, pictures later.
He drew the heavy black curtain closed behind him, and I could imagine him bending over the ballot, pencil in hand.
You want some coffee, Dr. Sam?
Thank you. It'll take the chill out of my bones.
And how about you, Sheriff?
Well, thank you, ma'am. I don't mind if I do.
Manny Small had posted himself about 10 feet in front of the voting booth, waiting with his camera and flash for Otis to come out. Up front, Will Whitney left his barber chair and walked back to watch, leaving his customer unattended for a moment. I could see Henry Otis's legs beneath the black curtain as he marked his ballot. But after a few minutes, it seemed he was taken unusually long with it.
How you coming in there, Henry? Need any help?
I'm just about finished. Damn long ballot.
There was a bit more of a wait, and then he pushed the curtain aside to come out. He was holding the folded ballot in his left hand and the pencil in his right, and there was a look of intense surprise on his face. He took 2 uncertain steps forward, and I saw the blood on his shirt front.
Mr. Otis, what is it?
I rushed forward to catch him as he started to fall. Behind me, young Manny Small ignited his flash powder. I lowered Otis gently to the floor and started ripping open his shirt.
Murder.
It looked like a knife wound just below the heart.
What is it, Doc? What's wrong with him?
Everybody, keep back. This man's been murdered.
But he was alone in the booth. Nobody could have killed him in there.
I know. First, we have to find the knife. And I'd better do the looking. You'd better take the others to the front of the shop and stay there with them.
Hold on just a minute. I'm still sheriff here.
Yes, but some folks might think you killed him.
I pulled the curtain wide to examine the voting booth. There was nothing inside except a wooden shelf with a couple of pencils on it. I looked under the shelf and on the floor. There was nothing. We searched the barber shop for 20 minutes, pulling open every drawer, measuring the width of every pointed instrument we could find. We searched each other and the corpse. Well, we even looked in the hamper, where Will Whitney threw his used towels, but no weapon was found.
How'd anyone get near enough to stab him? We were all out here.
Knives can be thrown.
Even invisible ones? Well, maybe he was stabbed before he went into the voting booth. While back, we had a feller over in Shin Corners. He got knifed in a brawl and didn't even realize it at first.
Otis stood in that booth almost 5 minutes marking his ballot. He couldn't have lived that long with a wound in the heart. And besides, there'd have been a lot more blood than there was.
But there was nobody near that booth. We was all looking at it. Well, Manny was even taking a picture.
That's right. The picture. I remember the flash powder. Manny?
Yes, Dr. Sam?
You did take a picture, didn't you?
Sure, I got one. That was before I realized he'd been stabbed.
How long would it take you to develop it?
Oh, I could have a print in an hour or so.
That picture could contain a valuable clue.
Sheriff, you want any more photographs of the scene of the crime before I go?
Yeah, sure. Take me a couple of pictures, son.
I had talked to everybody in the place except Will Whitney's strangely silent customer. I wandered over to the barber chair where he was still sitting, and I asked the stranger his name.
Crocker. Hi, Crocker.
You live around here?
Nope.
Just passing through?
Might say that.
You didn't know the dead man, did you? Henry Otis?
How'd I know him? I only just got to town this morning.
Most people like to be home to vote on election day.
Never paid much mind to politics down my way.
And where would that be, Mr. Crocker?
South of here.
You in business?
Yep.
And what would that be?
Dogs. I raise and train dogs.
For hunting?
Yeah, and watchdogs. Keeps trespassers off your land. Bloodhounds, too. Looks like you and the sheriff could use a good bloodhound about now.
They were finally removing the body, carefully edging the stretcher through the narrow front door, and the people waiting outside were crowding close.
All right, folks, all right. Clear out now. This ain't a sideshow.
That's one way to win an election, right, Sheriff?
I'll find the man that killed Otis, never you fear.
What have you lost the election, Sheriff?
If I lost the election, I'll resign and let them call a new election to fill the job. I won't be the sheriff if the people don't want me.
That seemed to quiet him for the moment. With the removal of Henry Otis's body, the polling place returned to something like normalcy. The voters, impatient from their long wait, crowded into the shop, keeping Ida Fry and Mrs. Morgano busy with the registration books.
What do you think, Doc? You seem to have a way with these impossible-looking situations.
An invisible man with an invisible knife.
Oh, come on, Doc. This is serious. If I have to turn this over to the state police, it sure ain't gonna look good.
I don't know, Sheriff. But there's something that points to the mysterious dog trainer, Mr. High Crocker.
What's that?
Well, he's a stranger in town.
So?
There had to be a motive for Otis's murder, and the most likely time for that motive is in the past.
Hey, Doc, maybe you got something there. Otis hasn't been here long enough to make enemies in Northmont. Not the sort who'd kill him, in such a mysterious way, anyhow.
I think I'll go over to the newspaper office and see if Manny has those pictures developed yet.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on Crocker while you're gone.
The rain had stopped, but the skies were still a long way from clearing. Gray clouds hung on the horizon, I knew it would be raining again soon. The office of the Northmont Bee was busier than I'd ever seen it. Generally, the Bee appeared only three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This election Tuesday rated a special edition, but it was the murder of a candidate for sheriff that had captured the front page headlines. Men were on the phones, spreading the details of the murder to the big city dailies in Boston and New York. The publisher, Ed Andrews, looked up as I approached his desk.
Well, howdy, Doc. Say, you were on the scene, weren't you? You gonna come up with a solution for this one?
We'll see. Manny says he's got a flash picture?
Yeah, they're developing it now.
Tell me about Otis, Ed. What's his background?
Oh, he came up from North Carolina about a year ago. He was chief of police down there, small town, maybe a little bigger than this. His wife died. Said he wanted a fresh start, wanted to get away from all the old memories.
How did she die? Mrs. Otis, how did she die? Just a professional curiosity. If she was his age, she wasn't very old.
Oh, yeah. Got his file right here. She was 38, killed in a house burglary 2 years ago. They caught the guy, Trent, passing through, hanged him. He broke in the house looking for food, and he stabbed her.
Did the tramp confess?
How do I know? I'm just reading what's here. Hey, here comes Manny now.
Hello, Dr. Sam. Here are the pictures. Be careful, they're still wet.
Let's see, Manny.
I glanced casually at one he'd taken at Sheriff Lindsay's request, showing the sprawled body of Otis. Then turned my attention to the picture taken as Otis left the voting booth. The black splotch of blood on his chest was just beginning to form, and his face was frozen into that surprised look I remembered so well. His knees seemed to be sagging a bit, and the fingers of his left hand were thrown wide, as if he was grabbing for support. It was the moment before death, the moment just after the knife had penetrated. And yet, there was no knife visible anywhere in the picture. I went back to Will Whitney's barbershop and waited till there was a lull in the voting. Then I asked Ida Fry and Mrs. Morgano if I could examine the voting booth again.
Don't know what you expect to find in here. We even mopped up the blood so it wouldn't upset anybody.
I bent to examine the wooden shelf on which the ballots were marked. It was about the height of my stomach, and I could imagine a knife blade springing out of it to stab Henry Otis and then being pulled back into its secret slot by some mechanical device. It was a good idea, but a wrong one. The shelf was solid wood.
Yeah, I tried it too. It just ain't no use, Doc. That knife just vanished.
No sign of it in the photograph Manny took either.
In case you hadn't noticed, our friend Crocker's missing too.
Where is he?
Said he was hungry. Asked me where he could get something to eat. I told him Dixie's Diner was the closest place. I told him not to leave town. Hey, Doc, where are you going?
Mr. Crocker, may I remind you, you're still under suspicion of murder. Would you rather give your answers to the sheriff?
I ain't got nothing to say.
Is this your truck?
That's right.
Weren't planning on leaving right away, were you?
I was just going to check on something.
Mind if I take a look?
No. Go right ahead.
As I opened the door of the truck, two huge German shepherds leaped out at me. I managed to slip out of my raincoat and wrap it around my right arm. I staggered backward, using my padded arm to ward off the lunges of the dogs. Suddenly, I slipped in the mud and found myself flat on my back. I heard a sharp whistle, and the dogs were at once called off.
A man could get himself hurt meddling into places that don't concern him.
Did you have to wait so long to use that whistle?
What's the matter, Doc? Get your suit all dirty?
I'll be all right. No thanks to those hounds of yours.
They're trained to guard my property.
What's in the truck that's so valuable?
Nothing.
Look here, Crocker. I could have you arrested on an assault charge right now. I could have been killed.
My dogs ain't trained to kill.
No? Well, maybe their master is. Maybe you followed Henry Otis up here from the south and killed him.
He wasn't killed by no dogs. He was killed by a knife. And don't forget, I was sitting in that there barber chair all the time.
I remember. Now, how about a look inside that truck?
Like I said, go right ahead.
Bootleg whiskey. So that's it.
The boxes say maple syrup. Can't you read?
Wrong time of the year to be running maple syrup.
What are you going to do about it?
I was no defender of the 18th Amendment, and the sight of that whiskey had changed my mind about Crocker's involvement in the murder. A man arriving in a strange town to do a killing doesn't run the risk of filling his truck with bootleg hooch. I knew I'd have to look elsewhere for Otis's killer. The rain fell in a maddening drizzle throughout the early evening hours, discouraging many voters who delayed their trip to Will Whitney's barbershop. There was no way of knowing how many stayed away because of the killing. When the polls closed at 9 o'clock, Ida Fry unlocked the ballot box, and Mrs. Morgano began counting the signatures.
Only 197. That's quite a bit less than last year.
Well, we had a lot of bad weather.
And murder.
Are you all right, Ida? You're pale and trembling.
I'm all right. It's just everything that's happened today.
Come on, ladies. Count the ballots. I want to see if I got beaten by a dead man.
Do you want me to do that for you, Ida?
No, be all right.
We'll need the votes from the schoolhouse, too. They usually get a bigger turnout from the north end of town.
I tried to focus my mind on the problem. I tried to forget about the invisible knife. Forget everything else except who was closest to Otis at the time of the killing. Manny Small was raising his camera and flash. Ida Fry and Mrs. Morgano were seated at the table. Sheriff Lenz was standing next to me, and Will Whitney was giving a shave to High Crocker near the front of the shop.
Here are the results. It's 133 for Sheriff Lenz, 61 for Henry Otis, and 2 invalid.
But that's only 196, Ida.
Well, I don't care. I'm just happy I won. I'd have been a little spooked if Otis had come out ahead of me.
But there were 197 voters. I've got them all numbered. Look at the list.
I remembered the photograph Small had taken of Otis as he emerged from the booth and started to fall. I remembered the thing that was missing from the photograph, and in that instant, I knew how Henry Otis had been killed.
We've got to find that missing ballot. The voting commissioner will never accept this.
I think I can help you find it, ladies.
You can?
Ida, you've got to give us the knife. There's no reason to protect him any longer.
You mean Ida killed him?
No, but she knows where the knife is. Don't you, Ida?
But we looked everywhere. In fact, we looked everywhere twice.
Ida, where did you get that knife?
Hey, Manny, cut that out. You near blinded me.
We looked everywhere, except where we were forbidden by law to look. The ballot box. I saw your face go white when you were taking out the ballots, Ida. But it didn't occur to me that it was because you found the knife. Until I heard the vote count and realized what happened.
Then what did happen, Doc? Who killed him?
Henry Otis went into that booth and stabbed himself.
What? Huh?
He stabbed himself and slipped the knife inside his folded ballot. Notice that the handle had been removed to make it thinner and the hilt covered with tape.
And we never saw it?
We never noticed it. Manny Small's photograph clearly shows the open fingers of his left hand an instant later. Otis dropped his folded ballot into the box just like everyone else. We just didn't notice. Besides, we were all distracted by the bloodstain on his chest.
But he must have known we'd find the knife.
Otis and Ida had become good friends, and I think he counted on her behaving just the way she did. With Ida and Mrs. Morgana both on the committee, he had a 50-50 chance she'd find it first, realize what he'd done, and cover up for him.
But why?
To save him the disgrace.
No, I mean, why would Otis do such a thing?
I don't know. Maybe he knew he was going to lose the election and couldn't face it. Maybe he was mentally unbalanced. Maybe we'll never know the real reason for it.
Well, what about that High Crocker?
Just a bootlegger passing through town. He had no connection with it.
So, the impossible murder was no murder at all. Just an unexplained suicide.
Well, been a long day, Manny.
Sure has.
You got some good pictures today.
You bet.
It was your picture that helped tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Not every day that one of your stories appears in some of the biggest newspapers in the country.
That's right.
Sky looks clear. Maybe we're through with the rain for a while.
Maybe.
Now, did you know he would kill himself when you left the knife there for him to find?
Huh?
That knife with the taped handle was a very special one, wasn't it? If I were to check the newspaper files in North Carolina, I'd find that it's the same knife that killed Otis's wife 2 years ago, wouldn't I? Or is it one made up to look just like it?
Otis did it, Doc. He killed his own wife and blamed it on a passing tramp who was just looking for food. They hanged the tramp. He was my brother.
So you came up north after Otis and confronted him with it on election day, the day he hoped to start a new career and a new life.
How'd you know, Doc?
Otis took a long time in that booth, deciding what to do after he found the knife. It was unusual looking with its taped handle, and I figured it had a special meaning to him. If I was right, and the knife was left on the shelf in the voting booth for him to find, only you could have left it there. I remembered you fussing with the booth before Otis went in. And it explained why you were so anxious for a picture of Otis as he emerged from the booth. The picture of guilt.
I didn't think he'd kill himself, Doc. I was hoping he'd go to pieces and confess.
He almost did. The surprise at dying brought out the words murder and stabbed.
He was talking about killing his own wife.
But his pride still made him hide the knife. He couldn't face the accusations.
What will you do now, Doc?
Well, I never did a thing. I saw no reason to tell the whole story to everyone, and so it never got told. Till now. Say, another small libation for you, huh? No? Well, if you come by again, I'll tell you about another crime. An honest-to-goodness murder this time. It didn't happen till the summer after the voting booth affair. And I was just beginning to think that crime had passed Northmont by at last. But then there was the county fair and a time capsule with a body inside it.
Dr. Sam Hawthorne, produced by Dave Amaral and based on the characters created by Edward D. Hoke, appearing in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. Heard in tonight's cast were Jim Harmon as Sheriff Lenz, with Jean DeBell, Lloyd Nesbitt, Fern Ridgway, Barbara Kovner, Joey Lessa, and Richard Scott as Dr. Sam Hawthorne. This is Robert Lessage.
The problem of the voting booth, which first appeared in the December 1977 issue of EQMM, is copyrighted by the estate of Edward D. Hoke. Alterations to this dramatic work to make it suitable for podcasting were made by Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM.